Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
And at this point, he should really be introducing himself by himself. It's the one, the only, the Villa. How are we doing, my friend? You okay?
I'm doing all right, guys. Thanks again for having me. It's like, you know, I got my own chair here now. You know what I mean? I got like a name tag and everything.
You're not randomly just jumping into the Discord and just recording now.
I'm not having to like spy on you guys to see when you're doing these. It's awesome.
You're just we're moving up.
Yeah, we're moving up in this world.
No, absolutely. It's been a while since we've last recorded. There are a few reasons for that. It's been busy. It's been Christmas. It's been festive time. So we hope you've had a great festive period and also New Year's as well. It's a new year. Matt's a new man. He's got a beard. So that's also taken up a lot of his recording time. You know, grooming, my boy, is hard work, isn't it, Matt?
It is. I had to buy a whole separate beer kit just to keep it nice and lush just for you, Gareth.
There you go.
And can I say, in Discord HD light quality, it looks magnificent.
Pristine.
Oh, pristine. And we'll throw it straight to you, Matt. So when you've not been painting that beard, you know, keeping it looking good, yeah?
Yeah.
What have you been playing, my friend?
So I actually haven't been playing a whole lot. It's been three games, but two main ones. The first one is going to be Halo Infinite. Ever since it surprise launched the multiplayer, I've been talking about this since the multiplayer flights. They have nailed the gameplay. They've walked the line between new and old. It's a perfect mixture. I think the multiplayer is the best that it's ever been, minus the progression issues, which they have slowly fixed. Still not perfect, but it's better than what it was. I'm not happy with it, but it is better. They need more maps. At this point, it's just complaints about the multiplayer. I just want more content. And that's about all I have for it. Game Pass came out with the campaign. I was able to put a few hours into campaign. It is very enjoyable, very fun. The game is absolutely beautiful. The gameplay is awesome. The only thing is that it lacks is co-op. If you don't know, Halo Infinite is more of an open world game. I don't want to say true open world, kind of like The Witcher 3 or anything like that. It opens up in segments, similar to like Metro Exodus. They give you a chunk of land and then they open up a next chunk, and it slowly gets to be as big as Witcher. But it opens up progressively, so it's a nice evolving. There's not a ton of stuff to do like Ubisoft games, but there is stuff to do. And the combat, once you start attacking fortresses and enemies, it feels like classic Halo, because Halo's campaign battles really thrived on that openness of those battleground segments. And that's really what it feels like, and it feels good. The only part is that it just feels so good, and the story has me intrigued of how they're going to fix this, but also move along with it, is that the co-op. I've played every Halo in co-op. From Halo 1 all the way up to actually Halo 5, I was able to get a friend to play through it. Wasn't very enjoyable because Halo 5's campaign was disappointment, but I did it anyways. But Halo Infinite's open-ish world just begs to be played with friends. It's because of the open world, it gravitates towards that. As I'm driving around, I'm thinking to myself, man, this would be so much more enjoyable if I had some stupid friend blowing us up as we're traveling from fort to fort. but that's what I'm like. Just those random moments, instead of like the AI playing it safe, just enjoying, you know, friendships while you're going from base to base, blowing each other up on the harder difficulties. It just lends itself so well to co-op, and it's not going to be introduced until May, which I respect 343 for wanting to do, you know, the right thing and putting it into it when it works. But it's just, May is so long, so far away, and then Forge comes out 3 or 4 months after May. There's content missing, even though that there, what is there is amazing nonetheless. The next game I've been playing is Battlefield 2042. So when I first talked about this, I did really enjoy it. And that was when it first released. I I bought the edition that allowed me to play a week prior to it. As the time went on, the stories came up, how it was broken and all that. I still stand by that it is not as broken as people say it is. Now, I'm coming from the last generation. I'm playing it on the Xbox One X, so the Xbox One version, where it's only 64 players, 32 versus 32. Besides the slight graphical glitch, I still have not had any gameplay bustedness. It hasn't dropped me back to the main menu. So I haven't experienced any game-breaking bugs. They have been updating it. They've been slowly adding stuff into it, as well as making some of the gameplay a little smoother. But as I sit back, they have taken out quite a bit of stuff. They've taken out advanced movements like being able to crouch run from Battlefield 5. While there is destructible, you know, buildings, there's far less of it. The game still looks good though, especially running 60 FPS on the old games. I think Battlefield 2042 has a lot of room to grow. It's a good foundation to build off of and add on to, especially with the portal mode. I think the portal mode is going to be its saving grace, especially if they continue to add in, you know, Bad Company maps and just older 1942 maps, Battlefield 4 maps or whatever they have. Portal is going to be the saving grace, but I think there's a lot of good that is in Battlefield 42, but it probably needed an extra year in the oven to fully realize it. I'm still okay with the specialization, the specialist, because I like Apex Legends, I like Rainbow Six Siege, so that doesn't quite bother me, even though some of their quips and talking points are really cringeworthy. But the gunplay for me is good. There is quite a bit of content. If you don't like All Out Warfare, Portal mode is still there. So it's still a good time. It's free to play this weekend, and it's still part of the Game Pass EA Play 10-hour free trial thing. So just give it a try. There has been stories that a lot of people have been going back to Battlefield 5 because of how disappointed they are in 2042. I still enjoy Battlefield 5. Regardless, I love Battlefield, and that's all I'm going to say on it. The last game I've put in a few hours, I don't know if anyone remembers, it was a few episodes back. One of our listeners, Bob, kind of sent this YouTube video in of this weird card playing horror looking game called Inscription. We all watched it. We all kind of got like this horror weird vibe from it. That listener, Bob, actually ended up buying it for me for a Christmas present via Steam. And I ended up playing it. Now, I haven't beat it yet, so I'm not going to give my full thoughts on it. But the first segment is enjoyable. It isn't scary. It just has a very like dark theme. It's very atmospheric, and the card game surprisingly is very simple but complex but very fun. I don't want to spoil what I have experienced so far, but if you are looking for a game that challenges what you believe will happen in the game and will switch from your expectations, you should try Inscription. It's going to catch you off guard, and I think that's one of the best aspects of it, and I'm still looking forward to playing it. I'm probably going to put some more hours into it tonight, and I am excited to report back about my findings. I was choosing my words carefully because Inscription...
Am I right in thinking that it's after part one that there's a big twist in the game?
Yeah, so... for instance, IGN wrote a review on it, and surprisingly, now, my friend Bob has also kind of reflected what the IGN review has said, is that there is not just one big twist after, like, I just completed Act 1. At the end of Act 1, there are some revelations and things that you experience that, you know, are very exciting and very different and cool, which I absolutely love. And there are more twists after that. Even the IGN review says that it doesn't divulge. It's keeping the story under wraps and all the gameplay twists and turns under wrap because it's best to experience it that way. And that's why I'm trying to be so candid by explaining it, because it is super interesting, super different just after Act 1. But yeah, for right now, after Act 1, it has already switched. And I really enjoy it and love it. And it's a game that I think would stream very well just because of how different it is.
Okay.
All right. I'm picking it up. Fine.
Yeah.
I'm picking it up. I'm buying.
Easy.
It's not on Game Pass, Davila, so you're good.
Yeah, I know it's not on Game Pass. I'm tracking.
Breaking news on Twitter just right now. Going to Game Pass PC. Ultimate. Davila, because you're just part of the furniture now, I'm not going to go to you. You can wait.
Part of the furniture?
No worries.
Yeah. If you had a fancy beard, you'd have gone first.
I need to get you one of those.
So what have I been playing? I've actually had quite a busy Christmas holiday period. That work grind has kept me occupied, but I have managed to get some time into Halo Infinite. And strangely, for me, reflecting on where I probably was 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, where I probably would have prioritized the campaign on Halo Infinite, I've actually spent most of my time in, well, all of my time, I've not even touched the campaign, for rightly or wrongly, I've not touched the campaign at all yet. I've been playing the multiplayer. I've made some jabs, some jokes, you know, some comments regarding the audio quality of the multiplayer of Halo Infinite. But I tell you what, I do enjoy it. It stresses me and annoys me because I always want to win. But there are some, I believe the gaming term is sweaty tryhard on those Halo servers. And they always seem to appear when I play with Matt. I enjoy it. The progression, it's frustrating. Hands up, I purchased the premium pass. And Matt's shaking his head. Matt's shaking his head. But it's felt rewarding. It's rewarded the time that I've put into it. As well as obviously, you know, the money that I put into it, but it felt like a small payment for what has seemed like a massive amount of rewards. Maybe it wasn't the most worthwhile investment, but I am still playing it. I'm sort of there thinking, right, once I finish this, I'm not going to go play some scary card game. I'm going to, probably jump on Halo Infinite, you know, because I'm into it and I'm really enjoying the challenges, which some are, you know, shoot somebody in the face with a pistol, and then another one is I've got to defeat 50 Spartans, and that isn't even my I meant to tell you this, Matt, last night. One of my challenges before I even get to my ultimate weekly challenge is kill 50 Spartans in Fiesta mode. I'm like, hang on a minute, how many do I normally kill? I'm not like you, I don't kill 25,000 a game. So, you know, that's going to take me at least 3-4 games, and, you know, there's a little bit of time. You know, I maybe I'm used to slightly more rapid turnaround on game starts.
Yeah.
I like the little intros, you know, and then it zooms in on you. You know, I like that. Does take a hot minute. So I got an XP boost, used it for an hour. It's an hour long XP boost, and I was shocked. I think I'd played two games, and it was like, you got 15 minutes left on your XP boost. I'm like, how much of my XP boost have I been using waiting to join games, watching me saluting with another guy holding a gun in like a Beyonce pose? You know, I'm there thinking like, hang on. That's it. It's a long turnaround, but sounds like I'm being negative. I'm not entirely being negative on it. It is a good game. I am really enjoying it. And I can't wait to get into the campaign too, as well. It is something I'm definitely going to jump into.
Can I just say, I'm sure you're glad that your challenge was not Tactical Slayer, though. Because you were awful on Tactical Slayer.
That's because I used a challenge swap.
Have you guys been playing ranked, or have you guys just been playing the regular?
Gareth is too scared to play ranked with me.
No,
aren't you Onyx or something, Matt?
Platinum, right before.
Okay. All right, yeah. Well, I'm platinum. Platinum's not that bad.
It's aight. Yeah, you know. I'm kind of a big deal. we're kind of a thing.
I just got the podcast there. Yeah. I messaged you yesterday and said I'll play whatever, even ranked. I put that in there.
Did we end up playing ranked? You were the party leader.
We didn't, because we just were playing Fiesta because I needed Master Sword kills. Sorry, Energy Sword kills. I kept calling them Master Sword kills yesterday. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Another game I've been playing an awful lot of and enjoying still is Apex Legends. I think this is my Battle Royale. I think unless, you know, the Ghost Recon game that me and the guys were talking about before we came on, unless that comes out and is just unreal, blows me away, gives me all the feels, allows me to play as one of the soldiers from Ghost Recon, Future Soldier, I'm there. I'm sold. This is probably, you know, I dabbled in Warzone. You know, listeners of the podcast will know I dabbled in Warzone. But Apex Legends, just, it's got its teeth in me. It's got claws in me. I'm inside the mouth of Apex Legends. That's a weird metaphor, but you know what I mean. I just enjoy it. They're doing lots of different seasonal things. They've got this new arenas coming up as well. This Aquaman, Aqua Water Arena thing coming. So it's good. I'm enjoying Apex Legends still. I put that on there. I know I said I probably wouldn't talk about it again, but I haven't really played a lot. So
I'm glad you're enjoying it, but if only you would have enjoyed it when we were all enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? It took you so long to finally get it. Like, I'm telling you, Garrett, the game is great.
Yeah, but you're all saying that. But I never wait for a game. There's no cues. You know, unlike Halo Infinite. You know, I come out of Halo Infinite, and literally 3.5 seconds. 3.5 minutes later, I'm finally playing another game of Halo Infinite. Apex Legends, when I die, I'm pretty much back in a game, you know, within a heartbeat. It's, you know, and that's what I want. You know, Warzone was another game that just took ages to get going.
Yeah.
Probably Fortnite was one of the only other ones that, you know, you would get in, get out, get straight back in. I think it depended on the times, depending on what servers you were on, but you know, certainly that was one where you would be jumping straight back in. So, like I say, I think it's probably going to take, it'll have to be a very special Battle Royale to knock Apex Legends off. And I think that ties in nicely to what you've been playing, Davila.
Gareth sidestepped the question. It took him a hot minute to get into Apex Legends when everyone else was enjoying it. Everyone else was enjoying it. Yeah, I'm glad. It just took you way too long. You just didn't want to listen to any of my advice.
Guys, I'm like a fine wine or a whiskey. Yeah. You know, I'm better after, you know, a little bit more time, you know, maturing. Yeah. You know, I'm like whiskey and wine.
Yeah,
but not together, because that's rough.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But yeah, so I've been playing a few different games. A few of the games that I've been playing, they're like really deep into early access, and they're like so unknown that I thought it not even relevant to like mention. But some of the games that I've been playing, this great one is called Super People. I'm pretty sure, I know Matt, you haven't heard of it. Gareth, have you heard of Super People? You've seen streams of it, that's right. But Super People is literally PUBG. Like, it's PUBG, but with abilities. So I would say it's like a marriage between PUBG and Apex, where it's literally the same graphics as PUBG, the same gameplay as PUBG, the same loot. The loot looks like PUBG, everything that PUBG is, but now with abilities. And it is absolutely amazing. It is so much fun. When the Battle Royale scene came out, like when Fortnite and PUBG came out, I went straight to PUBG, and me and my buddies, we were like addicted to PUBG. So finding another game that feels like PUBG, but fresh and new with the abilities like Apex, it is absolutely awesome. Just like, for example, some of the abilities that you can get, right, is like one could be a teleporter, So the way that the game works also is with every game you go into, it's a random like ability or like player ability that you have, and then a random gun associated to that player, right? So for example, I can go into a game as a teleporter and my character's favorite gun for that match will be a M16. So that means that if I find an M16 in the game, that M16 will have more damage for me because it's my character's quote unquote favorite gun. But I also have the ability to teleport, which it's not like super OP where you can teleport like every like 5 or 10 seconds. It's like a minute and a half between like your teleports. So it makes opportunities for some amazing, amazing fights and gameplay. Another one is like a super speed where you have like 5 seconds of like a super sprint. Another one's where like you can completely black out a section of like a radius around you so nobody else can see anything but you can see in it. And so it's PUBG, but with fresh, like just fresh gameplay because of these abilities. And it's so much fun. It's still in the early access mode right now. I'm not entirely sure when it's supposed to release, but hopefully soon, because I'm telling you, as soon as this game fully releases, and if this game could come out on console, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. I mean, if this game can come out on console, this will literally, I think, put the nail into the PUBG coffin. I know we were saying before that PUBG is still relevant, you know, but as for the most part, the only relevancy that is PUBG is the mobile version. And so this will be kind of interesting to see how this plays out.
Question, do you really think that it's going to be a new pillar of Battle Royales? Because we talked previous to recording is that Battle Royale is such a huge market that some have come and gone so quickly that people thought it would be huge. Spellbreak, like we both said, we enjoyed that, but that came and went really quick. Hyperscape, I think we enjoyed that. Gareth, I know you and I enjoyed that, but that came and went really quickly. So though you compare it to PUBG, do you think that Super People, while it may be popular during a short period of time, do you think it's going to be a long-standing Battle Royale that stays with the likes of Fortnite, Apex Legends, Warzone, and PUBG, you know, the big 4 or 5 Battle Royales? Do you think it's going to carve a big enough pillar to stay, or is it, you think it might just be a short stint of like a Spellbreak, a Hyperscape kind of popularity?
What I would like to see is this game knock PUBG off of that top 4. I would like to see Super People take that spot. So it's not having to compete with these. It's just taking that game completely out of that hierarchy. You know what I mean? Because I'm telling you, this game is literally PUBG in every sense. I'm telling you, the graphics, the loading screen, the airplane, the parachuting, the loot, the attachments for weapons, it's literally all from PUBG, but now with the added abilities. And another cool, interesting thing, right, that I also thought was really, really cool, and I would like to see a lot more Battle Royales do, is that in this case, where one of the biggest things that a lot of people have with Battle Royales is like there's not enough maps, right? Like the map gets stale. Everybody complains, oh, it's the same map. And then, you know, in instances with Call of Duty, they've taken out Verdansk and they've replaced it now with the Pacific. Now you're hearing people, oh, I miss the old map. And then with PUBG, they started having all these maps. What this game does is it has one map, but what it then does is, you know, how every Battle Royale has like a zone with a storm. The zone is on different parts of the map. So you're using the same map, but each game feels different because it's no longer the same map. Last game, it was on the southwest part of the map where it was like a desert. And now it's on the northeast side of the map where it's like snow and mountainous. You know what I mean? So it keeps things really fresh. And I would like to see a lot of games do that because in my opinion, or like the way I see it, that's a lot less resources than having to make a completely new map. You know what I mean? It's you're recycling the same thing, and it keeps it fresh. For how long? I don't know. We'll see. But as of right now, I'm absolutely enjoying it. But yeah, to answer your question, Matt, I would like to see this completely just knock PUBG off the pillar. Just take its spot. You know what I mean? But as far as that, another game that I've been getting into is a new game that recently released, which is called Ready or Not.
Can't wait to hear your thoughts on this game. It has me so excited.
This game is something else. When I first played it, I was a little bit skeptical because I come from a lot of milsim games. One game in particular that was familiar to me in this sense was Ground Branch, where it's a kind of a you're playing on a tactical team. It's very, very realistic in the sense of coordination throughout all teammates has to be completely pinpoint precise. Communication between teammates is absolutely crucial. Playing objective and not staying bottlenecked on one thing. There's just so many things that go into play with these types of milsims, and this game has done it to a level that is unlike anything that I've experienced. One of the things that I was kind of apprehensive about with this game was that there's no PvP. And so at first I was like, I like these games more when it's a player versus player, but this game's PvE is, like I said, unlike anything that has ever been done. So let me just go ahead and put a scenario through real quick. So me and my three teammates were stacking up on the outside of the door. One man has the breaching tool, which is then to bust the door in. I got another man behind me with a flash grenade prepped. He busts the door in, flash grenade comes through. I'm the point man, I rush in. There's somebody with a gun in their hand, right? But this is very realistic, so you can't just go in blasting because what if that person wasn't, you know, aggressive towards you? So when you can interact with all the NPCs, you can, like, when you press F, you yell at them, put your hands up, put the gun on the ground, get on the floor. So I'm yelling at them. My buddy comes in behind, restrains them. I hear somebody in the doorway to my left. It's an NPC. They're in. Boom, shots just start spraying through the door. I'm like, what is happening right now? My buddy tells me the NPCs will pre-fire doors when they hear you. I mean, everything that you think an actual player would do, these NPCs do. There's been an instance where we were clearing a room. There was a lady with like a kid in the room and stuff like that. Or it was like a younger adult, but... So like we yell at the lady, like, put your hands up, like get down on the ground, like put your hands behind your back. And so she complies. And so like we're clearing the rest of the room and we didn't apprehend her. She pulls out a pistol and starts shooting at my boy and kills my boy. And it was just like we didn't properly clear her. We didn't properly, you know, apprehend her the full, you know what I mean? And so it's things like that. It's just so realistic. It's just I haven't been able to 100% any level on that game yet. The highest I've gotten is a 75, and so there's like different scenarios. Like some are like drug busts; you got to go in and like find all the drugs and like get rid of all the drug dealers. Other ones are like active shooter scenarios where you got to go in and it's just like, you know, you got to clear out and then save the hostages. There's talk, and this is a very, very controversial subject right now. And actually, one of the developers for the game was actually let go because of how controversial this subject was. But there's talk that they were actually going to put in a school shooter scenario into the game. But as you guys know, that is super, super like controversial subject type of scenario to be putting into the game. But the developers of the game have said that this is what they want to be as a most realistic type game, where they've said that this could also kind of help, you know, first responders. This is kind of like a training, like a mechanism. But then again, also you can go ahead and flip it on the other end and say, this is also a training for somebody who would want to go into and do one of these things. So yeah, I haven't really done too much research as to if the map is actually going to come out or not, but it was just one of those things that was brought up and brought a lot of like ears and eyes to the game and why it is so popular now. But this game, and there's talk that they're also bringing out PvP and stuff like that, which is another huge thing that I think will also boost the game. But with all that, there are a couple things that are a little bit iffy, and that is the movement is very, very like blocky. It's like very, very blocky, and it does not feel fluid at all. It doesn't feel fluid at all. And that's one of the things where it's just like I want to see them do something different. With as of right now, you have maybe three ARs, you got an M16, an M4, and then like an X14 assault rifle, and then a couple of SMGs. I'd like to see them bring in a couple different weapons, some more different attachments, and some other character customization. But other than that, the game is really, really good. Unfortunately, it is only PC, but it's a great game. It's an absolutely great game, and I can't wait to play more of it.
Let me toss this question to each of you. What are your thoughts about them including the active shooter school shooting into the game? Yes or no? And thoughts on it.
Gareth, I'll let you start.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because, so interestingly enough, just then developed, just hearing you talk, you use the word simulator and game almost, one replaced the other. I think where we're talking about the word game, shooting becomes an issue. You know, no more Russian. You know, I think of that game.
Yep.
Level, sorry, on Call of Duty.
That was the first thing that
was controversial.
Yep.
You know, that was controversial. I guess, luckily, thankfully, there aren't many, if any, situations where we can think of, you know, in our countries where that situation has happened, thankfully, you know, to that level, you know, to the point where, you know, it's a massacre in an airport. Not saying that's a reason to do it, or not to do it. I think it's a very, very sensitive issue. And I think for me, it probably is something we shouldn't touch in a way that we're using the word game. Simulation, you know, I don't know, even in a simulation, you know, it's a rough thing to have. You know, Vegas 2, we talked about Vegas 2 beforehand. You know, in that, there's a casino conference hall that's held hostage. There's a college university that's held hostage. Gas attack in that. You know, maybe that I've overlooked that, but that's something that happened. You know, I'm sure I can't remember what the university's called. But yeah, in that, there's a university that's attacked. I don't know. I'm babbling on. I guess I haven't really given an answer, but probably no. It's my stance.
It is a very, very touchy subject because obviously that's an issue that we have in our country and something that's been an ongoing issue. And so unfortunately, there is a genre in gaming that is military simulation gaming. You have games like Arma, you have games like Escape from Tarkov. These games are considered military simulation games. But those are games. I mean, those are obviously games. You know what I mean? But when we get into things that are like school shootings, those are when it starts to get into real military simulators. You know what I mean? Where like military operators and military members are going into these simulators and doing these because they're training to go in to do something, you know, if there were to be in an emergency, you know what I mean? Whereas where gamers or, you know, where the general public has access to these kinds of things, I don't think it should be included in the game, in my opinion, because it's just, you're opening the doors to just so much trouble. I mean, you know, we live in an age where people want views, want clips. So, I mean, I could just already see people doing just horrific stuff in the game, looking for views. And it's just opening the floodgates for just a lot of bad. And so I think if they were to do that, if they were to release that like level into the game, that it would only, that one, I don't think they should release it into the game at all. But if they were to do something like that, it should only be used for first responder type deal or people who are training to actually, you know, and are certified to be able to do stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because it's just, I just think it just opens the door. It's just, there's too much potential for bad when you start doing stuff like that. But that's just, as I said, that's my personal opinion. But what do you think, Matt?
So I'm going to be on the flip side. Now, I do think that it should come with some caveats. I'm glad that you brought it up, Gareth, about the no Russian mission. That was the first thing that popped in my head when Davila was talking about that, is the no Russian mission. That was the most controversial thing to ever happen in video game history when it got to that point. I don't think the dark matter of the subject should prevent it from being released, as long as it is done, I don't want to say tastefully, because that's it's a terrible, tragic thing. As long as it's done, you know, I don't think it should be like an elementary school or a middle school. I what you said kind of makes sense to me, Gareth, is like Rainbow Six Vegas did a university. Now, that doesn't make it any better, because the death of millions of people is terrible to begin with, but it's easier to swallow. Everything I'm saying doesn't sound right, but it's a real life thing that police and military people have to deal with, and that is what the game is doing. Another game that popped in my head is the 6 days of Fallujah being developed by Bungie, where people are going in and they're going into each room, they're clearing out rooms, and they're shooting, you know, terrorists. That game is coming out with a lot of controversy because of the subject matter. Just because it is not a bright moment in human history doesn't mean that it's not a story that shouldn't be told. In this way, it's a terrible thing that this school shooting has happened. I don't think, you know, you can still have a scenario done like that, done in a way that can educate people and have an engrossing level, because from what you said, Davila, there's still active shooter situations in the game. It's mainly just the location that the active shooter is now being dealt with. It's transferred, I'm assuming, because I haven't played it. You said active shooter. I'm assuming it's transferred from like a government building or something, and now it's inside of a school. So it's really just the location and possibly the people that are being harmed. But these are situations that happen. The school shootings that happen in our country have to be dealt with by law enforcement / military people, and that is a thing that happens. It shouldn't be done to, you know, profit or anything, but it's a story, regardless of how dark it is, that it has happened, and there could be positives to be told about it, about what goes into the training to help try to prevent this. I think it could spark some healthy talking points. And I understand the argument that people may use it to maybe perpetuate, you know, further attacks on this. Unfortunately, you're never going to stop that mentality, though, of it. Because if you look at what the Columbine shooting, they took Doom. That Doom was not meant. Doom is nothing like the real world. It is nothing like Ready or Not. Yeah. And the Columbine shooters took Doom and recreated a level of their school to practice doing what they went in and terribly done. It's unfortunately a situation that's never going to be solved, because if people want to do what they want to do, unless law enforcement or someone steps in the way, it's going to be done. I think as long as the developers take it respectfully and they do what they have to do, I think it can be done properly and respectfully. As long as, you know, I'm choosing my words carefully, because I want to say that, you know, these school shootings are terrible and no one should be dying. This is terrible and I wish it would never happen again. But it's a story that, you know, could be told in a certain way that I think would be beneficial to the game. But of course, yeah. There's some caveats I do would like to see put into it. Maybe even a warning, kind of like the No Russian mission has a warning where you can entirely skip it, not even have the game. Like you said, maybe have it like as a DLC pack where it's optional if you want to load it into the game or something like that. Yeah. I think there's ways to put it into the game, so because it does lend itself to the type of game. Because Arma, like you said, is a milsim. You're creating simulations to shoot other people. It's just taking the milsim, putting in a law enforcement scenario, and I think it could be done respectfully, properly, if proper caveats and thoughts and considerations are taken into it. It's not something that should be rushed into it, and if they decide not to do it, it's not something I'm gonna be fighting to put into the game. If they think that they can't do it respectfully and correctly, I'm gonna take their word for it, and I'm not gonna push them to do it, because it doesn't need it. And I'm kind of in that middle ground, but I wouldn't be against them putting into it if it's done properly.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'm really glad you actually brought up some really good points, and it actually got me thinking. But it's interesting. It's interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see where the game goes. But yeah, it's a great game. If you have the opportunity to, definitely check out Ready or Not. But the last game, and just real quick, an old game that I recently started getting back into was RuneScape again. I know that it's recently been getting back into the limelight with the mobile version of it being released, but there's a lot more content being put into RuneScape, and we're at, I don't know, there's really not much to be said about the game. The game's older than almost dust itself, but they've been updating this game a lot. They've been adding a lot of content into the game. And I don't know, I feel like every year or so I kind of go back and start working on my account, and I've made a goal for myself this year. So this kind of like ties into like some of the news. Is one of the things that I've been trying to get on my RuneScape account for the longest time is a fire cape, and that fire cape is like highly, highly prized in the game, almost like an NFT. And so I've been like, my goal has been for 2022 to go ahead and finally beat this boss in old school RuneScape, the one that I've been trying to beat for like 10 years now, and get this fire cape so I can be one of the cool kids in the game.
Is that the lava cape? But, the lava cape?
Yeah, so the lava cape is like the advanced version. So you have to go in and beat the fight caves like 90 times or something like that to get the lava cape. But the fire cape is just beating it one time. And every time I've gone to fight the boss, I've made it to the boss to the final round, but I've always died to the boss and I've never been able to beat him. So
get good.
Yeah, exactly. Trying.
Is this the same account that you've had? Is this like, have you made a new account, or is this the same one you've had since like, I don't know, when you started playing? I started playing like middle school.
Yeah.
Late elementary school.
Yeah, so this isn't the same account that I had in middle school, because unfortunately that one got lost in the time. But no. I made this account. Yeah, but that account wasn't as good. That account was not as good. I actually, believe it or not, I started this account when I reenlisted and when I went over to Germany. So as soon as I got over to Germany, I started this account, and I was just kind of like playing in like hardly at all. But right before I was getting out, I kind of like was playing a lot. And so my account is level 99 now, pretty high combat stats. But like, so my goals are to get this fire cape and then also get the quest cape, complete all the quests. And as of right now, I have 4 more quests to complete to get this quest cape. And I've completed over 250 quests in old school RuneScape. Just adding that to my resume for my next job. I've been around the block, you know what I mean?
RuneScape has a lot of quests. I remember I did all of them, and then I took a long break for like a year or two, came back, and there's like tens of like more quests. And some of them take a hot minute to do, too.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, like, it's pretty funny, because like, I remember a few episodes ago, we were talking about games like New World and, you know, MMORPGs and stuff like that, and it's just like, this MMO has lasted the time. You know, it's so interesting, because when I get back into it, when I play games, I don't know, I'm sure it's not just me, but when I play games, I fully like to immerse myself in that game. And what I mean by that is I like to understand the lore behind the game. I like to understand everything fully. And so there's a YouTube video, like a 2-hour YouTube video on the history of RuneScape and how it became in development. And it's pretty interesting to see how old school RuneScape, it was actually taken off. It was unplayable back in like 2012, 2013. And there was like such a huge petition from the players that they finally brought it back and made it its own thing. And kept the RuneScape 3. But back in like 2013, 2014, they finally reintroduced, and what is now known as today is old school RuneScape. And they're just adding content constantly, constantly, constantly. And what's cool is that when they add content, they make polls in game, so you can vote for what kind of content you want to be added to the game. So if you have different choices, you can go into the game and go to a poll station and vote, which I think it's really cool.
That is pretty cool. And fun fact, a lot of people don't know, the old school RuneScape is not like the oldest RuneScape. There is an older RuneScape than the old school RuneScape. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I remember playing that one, and that one is not... I tried to play it, and it is... I could see that it was fun for the times, but I was like, nah, I'm going to... stick with old school RuneScape.
Yeah.
It's like the older school RuneScape.
When you see the like the history progression of video games, it's absolutely mind-blowing to see how we've came from games like Pong and we're playing games like Ready or Not, you know what I mean? Like just complete like just like realistic games, and how we've progressed through the ages, like, and how technology and innovation has like gotten us to where we are now. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, that's been a, I think it's probably been our longest.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
What we've been playing section. Certainly been an interesting one. And as always, if there's anything that you would like to add about it or anything that you've heard, let us know in all the social medias, Discord. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. So, moving on, and I think we're only going to touch on this slightly because the three of us have kind of realized that we don't really know a lot about this topic, but it's a big topic out there at the moment. So, the issue being NFTs. Davila dropped a small hint in there when he was discussing what he'd been playing earlier. NFTs. Well, what is an NFT? Well, thankfully we've got Google. an NFT is a non-fungible token. It's a unique and non-interchangeable unit of data stored on a blockchain, a form of digital ledger. NFTs can be associated with reproducible digital files such as photos, videos, and audio. And if you still don't know what it means, don't panic. Nobody does. But there's an awful lot of discussion about this. We've got brand new games being developed with NFTs at the heart of what it does. Peter Molyneux, the money-grabbing fellow, taking his opportunity to take some of that. Stalker 2 taking out NFTs. Ubisoft just doing what they always do, which is jumping in.
Any bandwagon.
Up to the neck in NFTs. Great. You know, Konami, all these guys, trying to get in on there. I mean, Matt, you talked about this in the Ghost Recon Breakpoint situation, and I think it'd be good for you to sort of go through that just to explain to any of our listeners who aren't 100% sure of what that means. Just enlighten us a little bit on what an NFT is in the Ghost Recon Breakpoint world.
So it's... the NFTs, you can kind of relate it to cryptocurrency. First, it's purely digital, but in contrast to cryptocurrency is that each NFT is specific and individual and unique to the point where it will never be replicated. So it's a more advanced version of microtransactions in a way. The best way to do this is compare it with Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which was one of the first, I would say, AAA games to introduce NFTs into the testing waters to see how it performed. And of course, they put it into a game that is no longer very interested by most players. I don't like it because the AI is garbage. I wish it could be better. Not going to go on a rant.
Relax.
It's getting me heated again. Anyways, they introduced it to Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which probably was the right idea because it doesn't have a large fan base because it is garbage. So an example of that, an NFT that they put into it is a cosmetic helmet that you first have to get by playing the game for 200 hours. First, I don't know who anyone would put that much time into Ghost Recon Breakpoint, but if you have, you are going to be privileged enough to have a NFT helmet cosmetic. But what it is that there is a serial number on the like the forehead head area of the helmet that is unique to you and unique to that helmet alone. And so there will never be another helmet with this quote-unquote serial number put onto it. And from there, you can wear it within Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Then, you know, this kind of goes hand-in-hand with NFTs, is this metaverse that everyone's talking about. The metaverse is, like, within Ubisoft, that helmet, you can wear it in another Ubisoft game. For instance, like Splinter Cell comes out, you know, you'll be able to wear that helmet within their Splinter Cell game. That's kind of what they're talking about, the metaverse-wise. But this unique serial helmet number will be unique to you, unique to that helmet, and from that point, you can either wear it or you can actually trade it and get real money for it. So you can put it onto a marketplace and people can buy for it. So that's kind of a simple version of this NFTs, because like you mentioned, like Stalker 2, another example is that people were able to buy these NFTs that they would... It's like an NFT package, more for Stalker 2 is an NFT package where you bought it. They would fly you over to their studio, they would scan you, and they would make you a copy and put you in the game, which is like randomly generated for a certain amount of people. But, you know, you being the person being scanned and put into it, you know, you are unique and you there will never be another NPC like you put into the game and stuff like that. So there is...
That'd be crazy.
So there's interesting ideas behind it, but Peter Molyneux, like you said, is making a new game, and it's basically you have to pay money to get a digital landscape that only you own within the game, and then you use that digital landscape to make a business that produces other NFTs that you can sell and make money out of that. So... It's this NFT thing is like trying to mix the physical currency world with the digital currency cosmetic world, and gamers actually just have not been responding to it too well because it's being sold at such a... For instance, the Ghost Recon helmet, the story states that when it first released, people got a few of them, put them on the marketplace, try to sell them for a stupid amount of money, similar to like the Series X, PlayStation 5 for like hundreds of dollars. And then for some reason, they actually sold, I think like 7 or 8 of them within, I think that's what the story states, because within that month, there was only like 7 sold, but it sold around like the $20 to $30 range. So it's a very weird version of microtransactions in a way. I don't know how the gamers haven't been responding to it well. The Ubisoft devs, actually, there's a story that there's some Ubisoft developers that have no idea why they're being integrated because they can't see the reason for them to push the game forward. It's just, I brought this story up because it is making such a big leap into the gaming world. A lot of big, you know, business people, studios are thinking about doing it. Like you said, Ubisoft, EA, and Take-Two have talked about it. Square Enix released a statement that they're going to be moving forward with it. It seems like the sentiment is that the gamers and developers don't quite understand it, that it seems to be a money-grabbing thing, but that is what like the business people want, so that's why they're pushing for it. So like, I know this is still an unknown territory for us, but what are your two thoughts on this? Because it's such a new frontier within the gaming world. I mean, a lot of people have tried to compare it to microtransactions that when it was first introduced, there was pushback from it. But I would say today, if it's not done well, microtransactions still have a pushback from it. And maybe that's the same way NFTs are going. If it's not done right, I don't know, honestly. I don't know. It's just an unknown frontier.
Davila, I'll let you go.
Yeah, it is interesting. While you were talking about that Breakpoint helmet, I looked it up, and it looks alright. You know what I mean? It looks okay.
It's nothing like, special. I mean,
yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And it's just like, all right,
with just a serial number on the forehead.
Yeah. For those of you guys, I mean, you could obviously Google it, but it looks kind of like... I would kind of look like a crow, kind of like mask, kind of looking. It's like a black mask with weird eye holes, but I don't know. It's interesting. I mean the way things are moving, cryptocurrency is going to be, you know, the thing. It's going to be the norm here in the next 10 years. You know what I mean? And so it's going to be very interesting to see how games start to incorporate themselves into the metaverse and into the crypto kind of world and everything. And I can see this kind of, when you were mentioning microtransactions, I could just see this as just like another version of microtransactions kind of thing, where like, you know, you buy this version of the game, or like a gold version of the game kind of thing, like another tier, where like if you buy this, you get this NFT along with the game, and then you could use that, which I thought you said was pretty cool, was that, and I didn't know, was that you could use this helmet though throughout different games.
Yeah.
Which if that's going to be the case, I can see that kind of being huge. You know what I mean? Because NFTs, it's just like cosmetic skins. You know, Fortnite skins are technically NFTs. It's just that they're copied. It's just like if you had your own unique skin, then it's an NFT. So I can see this being huge in the gaming community, because a lot of the gaming community is based off of customization and cosmetics. And if your character can look different from the rest, completely unique because it's yours, I can see that being absolutely massive in the gaming community.
So are you saying that this initial pushback by gamer, because it is getting pushback, because Stalker 2, like Gareth said, they ended up taking it out because of the initial pushback. So do you think the pushback is just because, obviously, while you say that it is cosmetic and gamers might end up liking it, it is an obvious just another avenue to gain money from consumers, and that might be why this initial hard pushback is just because gamers recognize this is another way that they're trying to milk us for more money?
Yeah, I can definitely see that, yeah. And to be honest with you, with a lot of these games, with a lot of like Stalker 2, and it's just so interesting to me is why are these smaller games the ones that are like trying, like as soon as a AAA game tries to do an NFT, I bet you that's when a lot of the traction will start to like get on it. You know what I mean? But like Breakpoint, like granted, I liked Breakpoint. I thought the gameplay was a lot of fun. I know that you didn't, but unfortunately, it's kind of died off. And so why try to bring in something so revolutionary into a game that's already on the downscale? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense to me. But I can definitely see the pushback because, I mean, people as it is don't like microtransactions, you know what I mean? And so as soon as gaming companies bring out another version, like I said, it's kind of like another version of microtransactions, of course there's going to be pushback, you know what I mean? I can definitely see the pushback. It's like, oh, why are you trying to sell me on another thing? You know what I mean? But I think as soon as it's done correctly, and if it's given some time, so like, you know, all the edges to be creased out, and if for it to be properly implemented, I can see it being huge.
So you're seeing this as a good thing. It just might take some time. I'm putting you on the spot, yes. But like, I'm genuinely curious because there's so much pushback. I don't know enough about it to really make a solid opinion yet. But it's just. So you think it could be a good thing if done properly in the future?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I mean, I just think I'll admit I buy skins in a lot of games, you know what I mean? Because that's one of the huge, you play a lot of these games and then you only see a certain part of the game and you want to be able to like refresh, you want something new to look at, you know what I mean? So I've bought skins in multiple different games. And if I have the opportunity to get a skin that is unique to only me, I would want that even more. That's just more of enticing because, I mean, in a lot of the, like Fortnite, you know how much money, I forgot even who made Fortnite, but you know how much money Fortnite makes off of the skins every time they make a new skin. I mean, that's, in my opinion, I think that's how the game's still afloat, is because they're bringing out all these new Batman skins, the Rock skin. I mean, they got a skin for almost a LeBron James skin. I mean, like, John, you know what Wick. I mean? They got everything. So if you could get the opportunity to buy, you know, obviously you'd be paying a premium price to get your own individualized, you know, cosmetic. But if gamers have the access to something like that, I can see a lot of them doing that. A lot of people buying NFTs for games to where they can show off, be like, yeah, check out this skin that I have in Fortnite that's only unique to me. It's huge. I can see it absolutely being huge.
Gareth,
so
thoughts and answers on everything.
While you guys have been talking, I have been listening. I've
I've delved into the Konami Memorial NFT website. You're lucky I didn't throw up whilst on here.
This would be an example of NFTs not done right.
So I stumbled across one, and it's taken me a hot minute to actually work out what it is. So what it actually is you are purchasing a 3-minute highlight reel of Castlevania, the 35th anniversary, the original Castlevania, that you would own as yourself. It's been cut in such a way that it's unique to you. How does that work with a video? I'm not entirely sure. It will have your nickname at the beginning and at the end. Your name will also appear on the Konami Memorial website as well as a purchaser of an NFT. I just want to say that this 3-minute video currently has a highest bid of $317 equivalent value in bit whatever the crypto thing is. I don't know. I'm 29. I'm older than I sound and act. And I don't know a lot about this stuff, but $317, which is about 40 pence. Which is a lot of money to Americans. So $317, that's a lot of money. For what I can see is a 3-minute video. There are also art captures, so literally screenshots. So people of a certain age will remember when you used to buy a thing that was called a magazine. And in that magazine, they didn't used to have videos of levels and maps. They used to have literally screenshots, and they used to be just the teeniest, tiniest thing. That looks like that's what I'm looking at here, but it's digital and it belongs to you. And you will be spending $300 on some of this. Guys, this makes me sick. Like, this form of it makes me sick. So
obviously I 100% agree with you that is sickening, but Davila has touched on, I've touched on, maybe if it is done in a certain way. So what about ways that Davila is talking about, you know, personalized, better Ghost Recon Breakpoint customization, personalized stuff that isn't Konami has messed up everything. I mean, they messed up Silent Hill, Metal Gear Solid. They've messed up a lot, so that's understandable. But like, what are some ways that are different that you maybe could swallow, or is all NFTs off the table?
How can we justify in an industry where it's worth, like, did I remember seeing somewhere it was worth the music industry and the film industry and the TV industry combined? That's the worth, the value of the video game industry. I'm sure it's somewhere, it's more than all of those combined.
It is, yeah,
in value.
Yeah, it is the most. I do know that. I don't know the combination.
How then can we turn around and say, let's make even more money? Bearing in mind, I know they're businesses, they need to make money. Just give us the ability to buy personalized stuff. Like, give us the ability to personalize stuff. You know, it's like, just before we started talking on air, you know, we talked about this stalker thing, how you could, you know, get scanned, get put in the game. Guys, you were able to do that on Vegas 2. You were able to put your face. You were able to do it on Tony Hawk's Underground 2 or American Wasteland, whichever one it was, can't remember. But you were able to put your body in the game. Now, if somebody wanted to on a PC, you know, if Davila wanted to, go out and spend some money, get a scanner. He could hook his PC up and scan himself into a game. Give us that ability. If there's that much money in the industry, put it back into the games and get it. Allow us to personalize it. But no, they want the intellectual rights. They want the extra bit of cash that they're going to get because of it. They're going to want the hype. Not in this industry. No, that's my. I get what you're saying. Personalization, helmets, equipment, all that sort of stuff. Nah, not in this industry. That's my point of view on it. How?
I can definitely see your point.
You know, okay, who can we think that's going to do it right?
it's going to be the same people that do DLCs, right? You know, it, like, why are Microsoft, why are Sony, why, I dread to think Nintendo probably have said something about it. Maybe let's ignore whatever Nintendo say. Or in 15 years, Nintendo are going to turn around and go, we've got a great idea, it's called NFTs.
they'll sell the most, though.
yeah. Why aren't they jumping on this? Because clearly, you know, Nintendo, joking aside, that would be dangerous. Nintendo would be like, Game Boy Colors go for silly money because of this value that we've applied to them. Now, that's a physical thing that you can hold. Well, you won't hold it, obviously, because you'll break it or smudge it, and its value will decrease by £3,500 every time it's in air. No, it needs to, like, no. Who would I trust to do this right?
I can see it's essentially a slippery slope, is what you're saying, is that it could only get worse. And that's kind of like where I was going with it. Now, I see the appeal of it. I could see some people being appealed to it. Because who wouldn't want, like Davila said, a particular item, cosmetic, that is personalized to only you and you only? That is a interesting and cool idea, but it could be done, like you said, just let us buy it or let us do it. But they're just trying to take that ability and milk us for more money. So I can see why.
I mean, that like, the reason why it terrifies me is like that Peter Molyneux game.
That's all it is.
Is effectively it's a world.
Yeah.
And I heard it was on a podcast, and forgive me, I can't remember which podcast it might have been, because video games, the guys from Game Ranks that do that, that there is a square, a lot in London that was purchased for the equivalent, and I'm not kidding, it was like £400,000 worth of bitcoins. Because they know that probably how this game works, that they'll milk that back in days once whatever this weird... It's not a game. No, that ain't a game.
No, it's not. And then if you take in consideration, what do you... spending that much money on something that is purely digital, do you really own it? It's kind of like, what do you own? You own some ones and zeros, and it could be easily just deleted and taken away, and there's just nothing you can do about it. So it's also just a very unsure economy thing.
It's really risky.
I mean, like with the Konami, so they were saying you don't own the intellectual property in the artwork, you own the artwork.
That is personalized.
I guess that's how paintings would have worked. You know, you didn't own Van Gogh's, you know, ability to paint it. You couldn't, you know, scratch it out in the corner and write, you know, Gareth did this. You know, but you own that painting, I guess, is how they're going down that line. The only difference is that painting probably is worth millions. And a screenshot that, like I say, you could probably find in physical form in a, I don't know, Nintendo Power, I guess, is what you guys had in the States. But then, you know, you could probably find a screenshot from that game, you know, in a magazine somewhere. Someone will have that, and that will probably be worth an awful lot more than a screenshot will. I mean, a screenshot, guys, that's what we're talking about here, because that's where it will go, you know. And like I say, and I'll throw this out to the listeners too, tell me a single developer out there that you trust to do this right. Tell me a single one. I challenge you. Tell me a single one that will do it right, and I'll listen. But you won't, and there'll be a reason. There'll be a reason, 110%. Bearing in mind, 2-3 years ago, we didn't think CD Projekt Red could do wrong. And like that's now where we're at, where now CD Projekt Red, I should spit, is where the industry's at. So, listeners, if you can think of anybody out there you would trust with this, let us know. But you'll fail. Moving on from that, because I need to get down off my high horse. Sorry, Matt, what were you going to finish with?
Nothing. I think you're right, but I also think Davila has points, and that's why I see what Davila said is why it appeals to people. like I said, it you know, the personalization of something that's only yours that looks super cool, I can see why it would appeal to some people, but that's why I was unsure, because like you said, who can do it right? There's so much uncertainty with it. And that's why there's so much pushback by the gamer population, but there's also some people who obviously are buying into it because it does appeal to some of our core nature of wanting to look cool, but also know that we look cool and no one else can really have what we have. And that's kind of why you buy microtransactions. So that's why, like, I'm in the middle. I can understand why the industry is pursuing it, because there is a desire for it, but the way that they are pursuing it and the method of how they're pursuing it is just uncertain. It's not founded. It's just, there is no foundation whatsoever. It's extremely murky, and it's just not good. And it's just another way for them to get more money. Like you said, if they just gave us an item, you know, personalized that we could just pay real money for, I think it just like a microtransaction 2.0, I think that would probably go a little bit better than this whole NFT stuff. That's just a suggestion. Like I said, I haven't thought and read more on it to do a solid opinion, but like, what about a microtransaction 2.0? I think that would go probably better. That's my final thoughts. Davila, do you have any final thoughts to add to it before we move on?
It's just interesting because, like, I'm thinking now, like, that's a good point. Like a microtransaction 2.0 where you can buy a personalized item. But then I start to think, like, how much work is put into, like, making personalized items for every person, right? I mean, obviously they could probably do something where they just change the color or something, but it's, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I'm curious to see where it's going to go. I definitely agree with you guys that the way it's been doing the way that it's being done right now with the current developers and current games is definitely not the way that it should be done. And I'm glad that it is getting pushback because we live in a cancel culture. So as long as people will cancel it, you know, hopefully it won't be done. And then there will be some change that is implemented to see if it can be done right. But that's pretty much it. Yeah. We'll see.
Cool. We've covered some topics today. Little thing we're going to touch on is the release or the announcement that Amazon is going ahead with a Fallout TV series. I mean, I totally forgot, guys, that the Halo TV series is due out
sometime this year.
Yeah. Which is really exciting. And Matt, you put in the show notes about, you know, we've got the release of more live action game shows. I've watched the Arcane show on Netflix. The Castlevania show on Netflix too. They're all really, really good. You know, it's not just the live action. I think I haven't watched The Witcher animated one yet, which I think is like a prequel to the TV series. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I must admit personally, I am enjoying the TV show game related things that we've been getting. The Mortal Kombat film last year sort of showed that they still haven't got that recipe right, it seemed. Didn't watch it myself, but it seems like the response that it got from, you know, critics alike weren't great for it. I just want to see more of it. I mean, like I say, this is the biggest entertainment industry out there, so it makes sense that we put more of it out. You know, I want more. You know, like you said, Davila, you want to learn all about the lore and all that sort of stuff. And actually, they can explore some of that in a different way in a TV show, you know, cover just a specific individual. You know, I'd love more of that. More, you know, more that we can sort of take in and explore, expand that universe that we already have in the games that we play. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know if we've covered specifically the TV series. We've touched on it. We've touched on the movies of video games. I think this is the right direction. Like you said, the Halo series is coming out. The TV series allows these franchises to breathe more. The reason why there's only like a single digit number amount of video game movies that are okay, I mean, none of them are winning Academy Awards and none of them are perfect. There's some that are good or fun, which is probably a description that you can use for most, that they're fun, but that doesn't mean that they're good. Regardless, it's harder to shove a franchise or a video game into a two and a half hour movie, because these games are, you know, on average, I mean, Call of Duty's usually run short, the campaigns usually run short. They're still like 6 hours. It's hard to shove 6 hours of lore into a 2 hour movie. Like you said, the Witcher series did really, really well. I haven't seen it, but it's been received really well. A lot of the animated shows on Netflix is doing amazing. I watched the Castlevania. That was absolutely amazing. The reason why they do so well in TV format, because they have so much more time to breathe, so much more time to put investment in story and lore into each character. If they want to do one episode per character, they can do that. It's just, it's a much open format for them to actually give the series what it needs. It's going to be more equivalent to the games. A lot of these games have like secondary, you know, recordings, or they have lore that's off the beaten path, even if you just go straight down the middle. A Call of Duty has a history. It's just hard to shove everything into a two-hour movie when in a TV format, you have all the time in the world. I think that's why it's really doing well. And Fallout was one of those games. Fallout takes, what, 30, 40, 50, 60 hours to complete if you do everything. And it has such a rich history, too, that there's no way, unless you picked one single individual person and story to tell, it's going to be hard to tell in a two-hour format. And plus, with the Fallout TV, you can bounce between characters, between groups of people. This is the way to go, and I think that's, you know, it's logical to think that way, and that's kind of why Netflix they're investing heavily into the video game, TV, movie market. They're buying up franchises, not buying up, but they're buying up the rights to do franchises, because it's done so well on their platform. And obviously, you know, with Amazon coming for the Fallout TV series, what, the Halo is releasing on Showtimes, I believe? I may be wrong. Paramount Plus? Yeah, you might be right. Paramount. Yeah. Regardless, yeah. They're starting to see that, you know, these in-depth stories can be told across, because each episode is usually an hour long. It's exciting. It's exciting because now we get to see these franchises come to life with all the in-depth action that we've always wanted them with, the quality too. I'm excited for it. That was very long-winded, but this is the right medium for them, not 2 hour movies that just get shoved into the discount, you know, straight to DVD market.
Yeah, the discount bin at Walmart.
Yeah, like a month after they released.
I for the first thing that comes to mind when you say that is Doom, like right off the bat, like I just immediately think of the Doom movie. That's just like how just terrible it was. And then that one section of the movie,
that one section,
like you're supposed to be in the game, and it's just like, it's just so cringe.
that first person shooter part is like a perfect description of that. It was fun. That doesn't mean it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm never gonna watch this movie ever again. But yeah, I definitely agree with shows. You have the opportunity. I mean, it's like a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing that it can be prolonged, but then it's a bad thing because it could be prolonged. But yeah. I've started watching The Witcher show, and I'm about three or four episodes in, and I never really played The Witcher games, but the amount of storytelling that is happening in this show I feel like I don't really necessarily want to go and play the game just because I know how long the game is and stuff like that, but I feel like I'm able to get a port, like I'm able to learn more about the game without having to play it in an entertaining way. Whereas I can see a lot of people wanting to do that, where a lot of people aren't necessarily gamers, you know what I mean? And where society is moving towards a way where like gaming is now a norm. Everybody's gaming, but if you're not a gamer, if you're not really into gaming, but you kind of want to like know about it to be like in with the time. You could watch the show now, you know what I mean? And so it's just kind of like the same thing where you could be in with the topics of today's time and age, but not having to go in, but not having to go in and actually play the game. You could watch the show, which I think is pretty cool. With Fallout, I absolutely think Fallout is a great game to make a TV show on. I know when playing Fallout, I dived a little bit deep into kind of like the stories and stuff. And there's actually a lot of the vaults that are only mentioned in like the in the computer text. And like one vault in particular that comes to mind, and it's pretty funny, was that there was one vault. I forgot what the vault number was, but there was one vault where there was like 99 females and one male. And then there was another vault where there was like 99 males and one female. And so in the lore, the people who made these vaults kind of like wanted to do like society tests and stuff. And so I think not a lot of that is really like shown in the games. It's more or less you have to read about it and like really, really dive into the game to find out about that. But I think with the TV show, there's that opens the door, the window to like talk about a lot of these things. That it's not necessarily right up front and center in the game's story, but you had to take the second to actually read the books, you know, read the computers and stuff to actually get in. And I'm like you said, I'm all for it. I'm really excited. It's going to be really, really cool.
I think it's important to note that The Witcher, I did just think of this 2 seconds ago, that The Witcher TV series is technically based upon the books. It's nothing to do with the CD Projekt Red games, but the story is still the same. Anyway, just to wrap this section up, quick, one game, you've got 2 seconds to think of it, that's not already been announced or is coming out or has been out. What TV show / film do you want to see made into from a game? Go.
God of War.
Matt, you've got 2 seconds. Come on, man.
It's a few different...
It's way too long.
Either Gears of War, that would be amazing. Gears of War. Or I would like to see a really good Tom Clancy, like Ghost Recon, or really good... Just give me a good Tom Clancy one. I would like to see like a Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, but Gears of War would probably be my top favorite because that would be amazing.
110% needs to happen. Absolutely. My choice is a show I'll probably wouldn't watch because the game's okay, but the TV show / film would be terrifying in absolutely every single way, and that's BioShock. Needs to happen immediately because that would just be amazing.
Yeah.
Would just be amazing. But in the ways of Hollywood, everything now has to be slightly terrifying.
Did you see
The Witcher show can be quite terrifying at times.
Did you say BioShock was okay?
Yeah, BioShock's not too bad. Like, when you go back and play it, it's not that bad.
I mean, like, are you saying, like, you're saying, like, okay, like, horror-wise or, like, gameplay-wise?
Yeah, as in, like, it's not scary.
I thought you said, like, okay, I was like, BioShock was amazing. What are you talking
about? Yeah, BioShock was incredible. But, like, the TV show would be terrifying. Like, they would make it, like, it would have to be terrifying. They would have. I mean, we've not necessarily touched on the Resident Evil movie thing that was Netflix, I think, which I don't think's been well received by people.
The Raccoon City one. No,
you know the one where like you got the bite. You know,
yeah, the one that actually looked like it was gonna do really good by game wise. Yeah. I actually, great that you brought it up because I did read reviews and it apparently is not being well received at all. Besides a few iconic scenes being exactly replicated is what we saw in the trailers, it is not being well received at all.
No. Which is a shame because that is a great universe and it could be brilliant. Also, just to finally finish on that subject, not all video game movies suck. There is, of course, the very famous every single Pokemon movie that may suck and not be great films, but my goodness, have they made an awful lot of money out of them because they've made about 23,000 of them. And of course, Detective Pikachu, which is quite a funny film. Last story that we're going to touch on, and only just because I'm quite excited and I think it shows where the industry might be going, and that is CES happened the other day. There was color changing cars for some reason, because that's what you need. How the police are okay with that, I don't know. It would make Grand Theft Auto an awful lot easier. But it's the PlayStation VR 2, which is an incredibly ingenious name, because it's the second VR that PlayStation have brought out, hence VR 2. Very clever, that one. I've got to get some kind of PlayStation dig in somewhere. Lots of things appearing to be pretty good about this. One wire system, so it's not so difficult to, you know, you've not got trading wires. As somebody that's used a Quest and you're tripping over a wire and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, eye tracking, all this sort of stuff. I think it's good to see that PlayStation are getting behind this VR thing in such a big way. It's making me think, what are Xbox doing? Are they not going to get involved? I don't know. I think it's a nice setup. I think it looks good. They've got the new Move controller things, which look very similar to the Oculus Quest ones. I mean, I think it looks like a very... Well, it's been positive. VR has sold well for PlayStation, and I think they're just going to continue that on with the VR 2. None of us have a PlayStation 5, I don't think. Well, Matt had some, but he sold them for incredible amounts of money. So none of us have a PlayStation 5. But if we did, would we be purchasing the VR 2?
No.
Oh.
Oh, go ahead, Davila.
No. Well, I already have the Oculus Quest. Quest Rift S, so I already have access to the VR, but I mean, it's cool that they're coming out with a VR headset. It's just the additional hardware required is the PS5, and the chances of you getting a PS5 right now, unless you're willing to pay the $750 that's being scalped for, is pretty low. So I'll be more excited about it when PlayStation 5s are more readily accessible.
So is that the only thing is that the only thing that's holding you back from recommending it or wanting it, is the ability or inability to get a PS5?
Well, I'm looking at because the link that Gareth provided has a like side-by-side comparison between the other VR headsets that are out there. And the only real difference that I'm seeing is the 2000 by 2040 resolution per eye, which is like a higher def screen, and then the eye tracking, which is inside there. Which, I mean, I don't know what eye tracking, I don't know any VR games that use eye tracking. Maybe PlayStation will come out with some games like exclusive to PlayStation that involve eye tracking. But I mean, all that stuff just seems like glitz and glam. Me personally, I don't see any real super advantageous advantage to having those, to having the PlayStation VR 2 over any of the other ones, in my opinion.
I can see that, just because it's the newest thing, that there's going to be some bells and whistles that you don't primarily need, especially if there are not games out there right now that are going to be able to take advantage of them. I do think it's interesting. It's probably the right move by Sony to continue in this this storefront of VR, because besides the PC equivalents, they are being uncontested by, you know, Microsoft or Nintendo. Phil Spencer has said that they're monitoring the space, and they're going to do it right. I do think that they should tip their toe into it eventually, because while I think it is a neat gaming sphere to get into right now, it is not something that everyone needs right now. It's more of a specialty market, if you would. Now, I do think that it will slowly become more of a standard as these devices come out. They become more of an ordinary thing. They become more affordable, but they come more advanced. I do think within maybe in the next 10 years, it will become more of a industry standard. But for right now, it's still a specialty market. I think Sony's the right way to do it, because if I remember correctly, the PlayStation VR, the first headset, it did well, because I think it was the cheaper model of all the VR headsets that were out. But regardless, I think it's an interesting space. I think they should continue to progress in it. I think Microsoft should probably start investigating into it, because I think in the future it will become more of a standard. There just aren't many games that, you know, are standouts, besides maybe Half-Life Alyx was one of the most standout one, but I think we covered that before. I think, Gareth, you said that it's not a game that you would go out and buy a VR just to play it. I think there's still time to grow within it. I don't have any experience in it, but I would probably have to side with Davila. It is a cool innovation. It is the next upgrade. It's basically the next generation upgrade for the PlayStation VR, but with games that aren't going to totally take, you know, advantage of it. If you are looking into buying one, maybe wait a little bit longer till games come out that might be able to utilize it to the best of its ability. But it is a cool space. It is a cool piece of technology, and I can't wait to see where it will continue to progress into.
So I've just had a look. They sold 116.6 million PlayStation 4s as of right now. They sold 7 million PSVRs. That's so awesome. PlayStation VRs have sold 7 million. So it's a small fraction of their market. They reckon that the Oculus Quest have sold three times as many PSVRs, which is, yeah, I guess, is that a state of the market? And that might be why Microsoft's monitoring it. I wonder if, as that just creeps up a little bit, if it creeps up a little bit, they might start to dip their toe. But bearing in mind, this is Microsoft. They may find a way of making the PC models connect with the Xbox, you know, Series X. Certainly the Series X, I think, compared to the, you know, the Series S, maybe. But definitely the Series X could have the power maybe to keep up with some of the big boys from the PC side. But I think it's just good because it's not just happening, dying. Like, the Kinect wasn't inherently a bad thing.
No, it wasn't. Especially the Kinect 2 or whatever it was for Xbox
One. Yeah, but it's just left to die, and it had the, you know, it wasn't the Kinect's fault. It was included in with the Xbox One. You know, it just happened like that. So, yeah, it is what it is in that regard. But, brilliant. So that's the news for the week. There was another story about Ubisoft Plus coming to Game Pass. Then that turned out not to be the case. It's just coming to Xbox at some point. But Rainbow Six Extraction?
Yep.
That's the one. That is coming to Game Pass. We'll be jumping into that at some point. So that's pretty cool. Game of the week. Halo Infinite. Not a surprise. I can't really think of any other game that, you know, certainly the two of us have played. Davila, I know, you know, I've played with you on that. It's a good game. It's had our time. It's had our attention. So definitely check it out. It's free. Multiplayer's free. Campaign's free if you've got Game Pass. So no excuse. Go out, get it. By the sounds of it, maybe next episode, Matt might be recommending Inscription. But watch this space. On that one. Trivia. Unusual turn. Davila is going to do the quizzing.
Ooh. Hey. It's because he's got an actual piece. He's got a seat in this podcast now. That's why we're allowing him to actually quiz.
Got my nameplate now. So since Gareth has been playing an awful lot of Apex Legend, he is the Apex Legend now. I thought it fitting that we ask Gareth some questions about Apex Legends.
Oh.
Now, I know you haven't been in the Apex Legends scene long, so I'm going to give you that, you know, that caveat, but I'm going to still ask you questions about Apex Legends as a whole. If you don't know the question, it's all multiple choice too. So I'll go ahead and start right in. So when was the L-Star added to Apex Legends? Was it season 1, 2, 3, or 4?
We'll go 3.
Season 3? Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Incorrect.
Darn Incorrect. It.
The L-Star was brought in during season 2. Season 2. Yeah, it was the care package weapon that, one of the care packages or that came into the map. But that's good. So I'm only going to ask 5 because I know this episode's been really, really long, so right now, you're down 1. So you're off to a great start. All right.
So I'm consistent.
You're at least super consistent.
So what is the highest rank in Apex Legends? Is it Apex Predator, Master, Platinum, or Diamond?
Predator.
Okay. That one's pretty easy. All right. Which legend...
Hang on. Can we all just spend a minute going, well, you got one right, yeah?
No, yeah, too that easy. That was because he felt bad.
You wait, Matt. You wait.
Okay, so now we're going to get into some lore of Apex Legends and some of... I'm drawing a blank. Titanfall? What was the game that... Timefall, yeah.
Oh.
Okay, so which legend is not originally from Passmithy? Is it Lifeline, Mirage, Octane, or Horizon?
Wait, what was the question again?
Which legend is not originally from Passmithy, the planet Passmithy?
Oh. I'll take a guess after you.
I don't know, but I think maybe Horizon.
Carl, what do you say?
I would say Octane, because Octane blew his legs off during the pilot trials. We're just trying to get the times.
You're both wrong. It's Mirage.
Huh.
Mirage, him and his... So if you don't know about Mirage, he had a bunch of brothers on that planet with his mother. All of his brothers went to war. All of his brothers died in the war, and he was the only one left. So he built that cloning suit to clone himself, so that way his mother would see all of them around. And not just him, because of all his brothers died. So wow, it's pretty interesting.
That's extremely dark. Yeah, dark and deep.
Yeah. Very, very sad. Very, very sad. So, Carl, you already gave this away, but how did Octane lose his leg? A motorcycle accident, a big fall, or was it a grenade?
Say them all again. I do know it, but I think I need to...
Was it a car accident, a motorcycle accident, a big fall, or a grenade?
Wasn't it? It was a motorcycle accident. Isn't it like a YouTuber trickster star thing? And doesn't he have a accident and his legs while he was recording something? I don't know. Can't remember.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I think so.
You're trolling me, right?
Yeah, you're trolling. Right? It's a
grenade. You're trolling right now.
It was a grenade.
It is a grenade.
Yeah, who did you think I was talking about? I'm talking about, you know, I was talking about Octane, right?
I know, like, literally the person who I have the special skin for.
Yeah, the person that you play all the time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, I don't read the lore. Yeah.
God. It was a grenade. And like Carl just said 45 seconds ago, I can't believe you got this wrong, because he literally gave you the answer 45 seconds ago. It was Octane. If you remember in Titanfall, there was that challenge, like that speed run challenge. And in the lore, Octane was the fastest one to do the speedrun challenge, because at the last second, he used a grenade to propel himself forward
to finish. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he blew off his legs in that process.
Hey, and it is a thing. Wow. In Titanfall 2, you throw a grenade down and the explosion propels you forward. So there's like people that complete it in, I think, like 13 seconds or something like that. It's insane.
Yeah, I've seen the videos. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
You got that one right.
You got that one right. All right, last question. All right. Who is Pathfinder's creator's name? You know the legend, the robotic one with the grappling hook? What is his creator's name? Is it Nudie? Marvin, spelled M-R-V-N? Was it Hammond? Or is it Dr. Emil?
Read the last two out.
Hammond. And the last one is Dr. Emil.
I'm going to guess Hammond.
Carl, what's your guess? I want to see if you're going to get this one right.
So if Hammond, I think Hammond made...
Garrett's already guessed, so his answer's locked in. Just saying.
Yeah. His answer's already locked. So I think Hammond made Ash. They are people that make... robotics, but I don't think they made Pathfinder. It's not Marvin. I don't think so, because Marvin is the robots that are almost identical to Pathfinder. I would say the last one. What was the last one?
Dr. Emil?
I think so.
You'd be correct.
Yeah.
It was Dr. Emil. It was Dr. Emil. Yeah, Heyman was the one who created Ash.
Yeah.
Dr. Emil was the one who created Pathfinder.
And
I don't watch any of the episodes. You know, it comes up in the top left-hand corner. Oh, you've got new episodes to watch. It's just like, I don't care. Like, put me back in the game.
I'm just trying to get into the game and clap some people.
You know,
I'm sorry about this lore. I don't care what Pathfinder gamers.
That little bit was from. I got that for. You should play. Have you played Titanfall, Garrett? I bought you Titanfall 2. I know.
Yeah. Titanfall 2. Yeah, but like it's been an age since I've played it. Yeah.
That's true. I can see that.
Wow.
Well, good job. You got 1 out of 4. Congratulations, Garrett. You are in fact a winner.
Extremely consistent.
I know. Listen. When you expect to do badly. When you do badly, it's fine. It's fine. And just for the listeners, okay, Davila did say, I'm going to talk about, you know, the abilities and all that sort of stuff. There wasn't a single question in there about abilities. Yeah?
That is true.
Not going to talk about lore. Not going to talk about lore. Anyway.
The lore.
That's trivia. It's always terrible. If you did like listening to Davila talk to you a little bit about Apex questions there, join his new Twitch channel where he does quizzes on...
Exclusively only quizzes.
Only quizzes. No, I'm just kidding. Definitely check out Davila's Twitch stream, though. It will be linked in the show notes description. So definitely check him out. What have you been playing recently, Davila?
Yeah, so as of recent, you guys are probably going to just roast me out of this Discord now, but it's I've been playing a lot of League of Legends. I've never played League of Legends before. I've never played MOBAs before. And I've just, like, as of the last month or two, just installed League of Legends and started playing. I know all the listeners are probably like, why, Davila, why did you do that? You should have not have done that. But I'm actually really enjoying it. And I have a good group of friends that I've been playing it with. So it's been kind of fun. And it's just been relaxing. Work has been picking up this last month or two. So it's been kind of nice just to play something not super intense, like a shooter and super sweaty. But I actually just did pick up Inscription. So I think I'm going to stream Inscription this week.
Yes.
Give this the old college try, because I'm really intrigued now with all the twists and turns. I really want to see what you're talking about. So I just bought it actually while we were recording this episode. So I'm gonna stream that probably tomorrow.
Inscription comes out on PC Game Pass tomorrow.
I will be so pissed, man.
I'm really interested though.
I can't wait.
Did you say League of Legends was not sweaty? Every time I play League of Legends, yeah. I get yelled at because I am not nearly as good as I should be.
I just mute everybody, you know what I mean? So I'm just like, I'm in my own headspace. When I play a game, I fully dive myself and I try to figure out. It's like, it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing because I like to learn about the, but it's a bad thing because I spend so much time. But so I'm taking on the jungler role, and from what I've been told, it's like an easy yet hard role. And so far, I've been doing pretty well. I've just started playing ranked. I'm going to see where I'm ranked this week. But yeah, it is sweaty, but I try to keep it copacetic with, like, you know, good chill music in the background. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, that makes, you know, more just, sense. If you mute people and you have chill music, because I played it and I get yelled at because they're like, I'm not doing good enough, and I'm going to ruin their rank, and I'm just like, this is a fun game, but this is a miserable experience.
I will say, though, that the more that I've played League of Legends, the more that I've gotten better at typing, because when I've been flamed out for doing something ridiculous, I have to be able to type fast to be able to, like, rebuttal back to these little Timmies that are on this game that are just, like, roasting me out. You know, I've only played the game for 45 days. Give me a break. But yeah, it's a good time. But yeah,
I'm just glad you guys have started to understand. Like, I used to play Siege, and if I didn't clutch the 5v1 in ranked on Siege, I would get a message about how I should die, because often that will be a lot better for their rank.
I will definitely agree. Siege is on a whole nother plane. I remember, and I will never forget, the first game of Siege that I played, I accidentally shot my teammate, and he was cussing me out on game chat for five. Why are you on this game, you bleeding bleep? I'm like, oh my goodness. All right, let me go ahead and just put this on the shelf.
Yeah, let me put this on the shelf and let me go play some League of Legends.
Yeah, let me revisit this, man. Like, when I'm in a better headspace, you know what I mean?
I must be honest though, Apex Legends equally can have some very toxic people playing with you. I think the other week me and Bryce were playing and we got knocked pretty early, managed to come back. Our teammate got killed, left the game, sent me an angry message about how terrible I was, and then me and Bryce went on to win the game. I think I personally did it just to spite them. But anyway, definitely check out Davila's stuff because, you know, I enjoy it. Matt enjoys it. You know, we love what you're doing. So definitely keep it up. As always, it's been a pleasure. If you've liked what you've heard today, and by today I mean yesterday when you started listening to it, because this has been the longest episode ever recorded in the history, definitely leave us a review. Let us know what you think. We love to hear from you guys in general. Matt, where can the good people who've listened to us, certainly to this extent, get in touch with us?
So you plugged us earlier in the episode, but we're across multiple different social media accounts. We have, you know, like Gareth said, we have been sort of dormant just because of the holiday season. The workload has been on both of us. The holiday season came into effect. There's personal stuff going on. But we ended up getting back together. We brought Davila in here because we enjoy doing this. We enjoy putting this out for you guys to listen. So just come let us know what you guys think about this across the social media accounts, including our Discord channel is one of our most active ones that we like to push questions out. We have a separate server for content sharing that we have people post their YouTube videos, their Twitch accounts to. We're just very active within the Discord channel. The Facebook is usually where we post many of our little milestones of if we post an episode. We have a Twitter account. We have an Instagram. We have an email if you want to send us personal questions or anything that you want us to cover. That's one of the major things is if you have a game, a story, something that you want us to cover or hear our thoughts on, or if you want Davila off the show, just shoot us an email or any of the comments.
Absolutely.
No, but seriously, we do enjoy having Davila on. We love him to death. If you have any thoughts, stories, or games that you want us to introduce into the show, because this show is as much yours as it is ours, because we like just talking about games with people, just find us on any of the social media accounts.
Sounds good. Right, well, that's been the end of this episode. We've covered quite a few crazy things today, but it's been a good episode. As always, guys, it's been brilliant to have you on. Hopefully we'll be around in another episode at some point soon. Next week would keep us to the name. But anyway, as always, this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.